They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
God, we're good. We're good, and you're lucky to have us in your ears. Or your rear.
And then you can listen to the pod.
If your ears are still working. This is Shitting with the Door Open. I'm Harley Breen. That's Wade Duffin. He's my best mate. And what we do is we call each other once a week just to check in, and we record it and you listen to it, and it's great. And we love having you.
But I reckon we call each other like 2 to 3 times a week.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is the one that we record.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff that no one will ever hear, and for good reason.
There's been plenty left on the cutting room floor.
Just think about what we leave in, and you can imagine what we cut out.
Just imagine. Oh, man, I went and got my haircut today, and as always.
And you look sharp, like, mate. You look sharp.
I appreciate that. And the dude's like, oh, so what do you do? And I don't know what to say. Like, I just look after the girls. And so I didn't want to say, like, oh, I've got a podcast. Like a fucking
why not
dickhead.
Why not?
Well, I should have, because in the end I just started lying. I just started making up this story about stuff that I was doing. It's not true. I'm not doing it. So if you're listening, barber who cut my hair,
I don't want to copy. You didn't tell him you were doing a podcast.
That's right.
We're trying to grow this fucking thing, and when you had the opportunity to promote it, you went, nothing, I don't do anything.
Instead, I did like a George Costanza. I made up some lie about how I freelance writing copy for like corporate. And I'm like, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
It absolutely doesn't exist. I just didn't know what to say. I panicked.
It's easy here. This is what you say. What do you do? I do a podcast, I look after my daughters, and I take naps. That's it.
The big three.
They are good jobs, and they are all valuable to a functioning society.
Yeah. Now, listen, I wanted to lead off this week.
Yes.
Addressing last week. Now,
there's a few things
we've already addressed.
There's some points of order.
There's some points of order. Now, we've already had a wee telling up. We already spoke to the Patreon.
Yes.
Like last Friday, we already gave them a bit of a talking to. So we'll give you a bit of a talking to. We're not selling dildo merch. There's no dildo. It was a clickbait title. Please stop asking. It was a 3-second max clip at the end of the book. And I thought, dildo merch. I'll call the episode dildo merch. I'll get some more clicks because I'm a fucking idiot. And I just wanted to get that fucking, I wanted people to like the dildo merch. That sounds interesting. Oh, they lied to us. Classic. So please stop asking for dildo merch. We're not sending it. Also, imagine the shipping on those dildos. You couldn't afford the postage.
I mean, the dildo's $10, but the postage is $150. It's got to be a registered courier.
Don't worry about that. They are very like you use them once and they're going to start breaking. The quality is not great. Oh,
they will not be good. Or sanitary.
You'll get a rash. Don't use those ones. Please.
Just made from plaster of Paris.
Just one at a time, like a factory. Just wearing ourselves out, making plaster of Paris.
No, it's great that we've established that. There will be no dildos. But also, Wado, I just want to say, let's not rule it out. If there's that much interest
in it. Oh, you never say never. You never say never. Like, if we ever did like a live show, we'd get like a t-shirt cannon, but it'd be like a dildo cannon. We'd just like fire dildos into the
just audience. Knocking people out with silicon dildos to the side of the face. Oh, God.
Oh, good.
But
Lord.
Should we bring up the other point of order?
Yeah, please do.
So in last week's episode, well, there was a lot of discussion, one of which was about dildo merch. we spoke a lot about midlife awakening and employment and what it means to live. And somewhere in that mix, I talked about Hannah going back to work. And I made a comment that drew the ire of a few people. And so, as you said just before we went on air, this is an ongoing conversation, and I'm super pumped that people are getting involved and letting us know their thoughts. And so, we will continue the conversation. I'll read you the message from this person because it includes compliments to us. That's the only reason.
Double down on those compliments as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
just. Read those twice.
I won't read her name out because I did not get the approval for that, and it was a private message, and so I don't know. She may be fine with it.
Yeah.
She can comment again in the future. Said, "Hi, guys. I've just finished listening to your last episode, in brackets, top-notch one. Well done. You've drawn me in. I want to continue reading." "I do have one comment that I feel is really important, though. I would like to preface it by saying that I've been listening from the beginning, as has my husband. We're Patreon supporters as well. Anyway, we love the show." Big ticks to being Patreon supporters.
Honestly, so far, favorite listener, hands down.
Absolutely.
You don't even need to read the rest of that.
Yeah.
We're done.
In fact, if you're not a Patreon supporter, I don't want your comments.
I'll still listen. Don't worry.
And she goes on, "And I feel like even if I don't know you personally, I can probably go out on a limb and say that you are both feminists. Back to my point. When Harley mentioned the sad fact that when a partner goes back to work after the birth of a child, they are likely not going to earn enough to cover childcare costs. Unfortunately, this is often a comment used by abusive partners to keep that person home and isolated. The other point is that by going to work, that person also receives a superannuation. And this is one of the main reasons that women end up with much less super at the end of their career. Also, the two incomes are technically shared, so it's not only the one extra income by itself that needs to be considered. And when a couple both retire, they will share that superannuation. So it's kind of an investment for the future of that couple. Great message, and thank you very much."
Absolutely top-notch message, because I love it when because you know we talk a lot on the podcast, and sometimes you just brush over it like a big topic super fast because that topic's not in your head.
Yes,
we were talking about some other stuff, but I'm always happy to have people like write in and say, actually, here's like another point of view. Have you considered this? I love that shit.
Yeah, and I feel like, seeing as I was the one that made the comment, I will reply to that reply. And the first one is, and it's the major one, "I did not consider either of those points at all. That wasn't even in my head. And the more you know, the more you know," particularly the issue around coercive control and using the kind of thing that I said to control a partner and keep them home. I want no part of it. Obviously, I don't feel like I need to go on record saying that, but that was in no way my intentions in saying what I said. And the second one, I had not even for a moment considered the benefit of superannuation to especially a birthing woman who has been at home and is not contributing to her super. And we know that in the wage gap, one of the biggest issues in the wage gap is retirement superannuation. The men end up on a much bigger super than women do, and it's largely because of giving birth at home. Giving birth and staying with the child. Mine was a really simple comment that obviously has a lot in it. It was just that on a practical level, well, one person is just earning the childcare. So, you know, like, what's the point? And then those are two great points that that person has showed up for. And I'm not entirely retracting what I said either. I am 100% in support of Hannah getting back to work whenever is possible after the birth of this child. And just to let people know a little bit about our personal and financial life, we split everything 50-50. So our earnings that I go out and generate the money from because of the type of work I do is paid to us in wages, because it's not just what I do. I can't go to work without Hannah taking care of the children or other elements of the house or processing our finances. She's the CFO of our company, so she gets super from that. In fact, in a way, she hasn't even stopped work for the birth of this child because those wages are still rolling in. So we as a couple have been very conscious of that, and making sure that Hannah's super is paid and that she earns a wage and draws a wage. We are in a unique situation to be able to do that, because I can go to work for short amounts of time and in some instances earn fairly good cash, put that into a company and do all of that. So things are a lot more complex than my comment, both in the reality of a lot of people in society, from what that comment was, and in the practicalities of my relationship. That's actually not how it works anyway. It was a frustration with how goddamn expensive childcare is. And just while I'm on it, that should be paid for by the state. That should be paid for by the state. It shouldn't be paid for by working families, because it's a benefit to society that both mums and dads go to work. So then the childcare should be compensated by the state. Rant over. Yeah.
Rant over. I think every family is going to approach this differently. Like, as you said, it's like a complex issue. Like, and when people like step out of the workforce for it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, how many years, when you step back into it, you've lost that much, not just super, but that much like experience. So you're stepping back again.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like in that kind of like career ladder.
Yes.
The kind of career that you have, which can also be a detriment. And also, spending time with your children can be painful, quite mentally. I've spent a lot of time with my children, and I love them very much. They are the greatest thing. They are my best friends. But they hurt my head quite a bit. And that can be detrimental to you as well.
Yes.
So there's a lot of reasons to send your kids to childcare, but I think it's a family-by-family, like a situation.
Yeah,
it's
also forget super, and forget that the horrific implications of using that comment that I made to control your partner in an abusive relationship. Forget all of that. It's totally valid that someone just wants to work because they want to work.
Yeah.
Because they want to talk with adults, not children. Because they want to leave the house. Because they have a
100%
some sort of passion for something, or you know, they just want to go and work for the wages for whatever it is throughout the
and
week.
And some people are kind of like forced into it. Like if you're in a single parent household or whatever, like this might be like a thing where like it has to happen. And there's also nothing wrong with staying at home with the children if that's what you want to do.
Totally.
Whichever partner wants to do that.
Yes.
It's just whatever works best for your particular situation. And yeah, and it was a big topic and we brushed over it very quickly because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Don't go back and listen to the rest of the episode.
Oh, holy shit.
You'll be able to hear a lot of stuff
that
we've just brushed over.
But if you do go back and listen to the other episodes, you still can get in on the ground level for Uber Pool Dicks, which I think we all agree is that's an investment in everyone's future. If you really think about that, benefits men and women in equal ways.
It's been so long since we talked about Uber Pool Dicks that I just
like, well, the reason I brought it up is the idea that two idiots that so relentlessly talks about such a stupid concept like Uber Pool Dicks would be able to discuss anything with any level of seriousness or intelligence.
It's just the idea. Oh, man, we are not to be taken seriously. Mm. But it's man, please, if you have any kind of opinions or like you like go like, oh, actually, I think a bit differently to that, you know, if you want to call us out or anything, send us the message.
Absolutely. And I really value that message because I learned a thing. I feel a little wiser. Not much though. Not heaps wiser. I'm still pretty dumb, but a little wiser. And you know,
well, Claire listened, and she also she said the exact points that were in that message.
Right.
Which was great to hear. Like, you know, it's really good. I love learning that stuff.
Turns out I'm a real piece of shit. So
just a fucking dog.
Please, somebody cancel me. Will someone just cancel me? I just and I didn't mean what I said before too. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, please comment. I love everybody getting involved at whatever level you want to be in this ridiculous community that we've created. You're all great. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. How have you been going? Because I have been a little low.
What's happened?
I was in a real good mood and now I'm not. And I'm flat and just a bit despondent. And I've got a real case of like imposter syndrome in my life.
Yeah.
And it's this thing where like kind of we are the main character in our own life.
Yeah.
But that means you are also like the side character, you're the love interest, you're the villain. Like, you know, you play a lot of different roles for to a lot of different people. And I just keep thinking
I'm barely a featured extra, to be honest with you.
Yeah, featured, that's the word, like an extra. You're an extra.
Yeah.
And I just keep thinking about how many people there are in the world and how I'm halfway through my life. And I know we've been talking about this heaps lately.
Yeah.
We've just been fucking banging on it.
It's what we're living.
It's what we're living. And now there's so many different people living their lives. Like, what is the purpose of my life? What is it for? What does anybody gain? And this is not like in a depressed way. I'm not trying to say like, oh, I'm getting the lawnmower.
Yeah.
Like, what does anybody gain from me existing in this world?
Well, I gain a lot.
And I can't think of a big reason. I can't think of a reason. I think of my children, what they gain, but that's kind of, that's where it ends.
Not as much as me. You hold back with your kids. You say everything to me and I am the better for it. You bring joy.
No, I'm not fishing. I'm like, in general, like, what are we, this is anyway.
That's why I'm answering it because, and I know that you're not fishing. And I think I'm just carrying on from comments that I've made in previous episodes and that I have a real conviction for. Your purpose is to just exist, and your existence is, if at the simplest form, great because of how it helps my existence. If it's just that, if that's the simplest thing, if that's the only reason for what am I contributing? Well, you're contributing a great deal. Just to my existence, because I have someone to talk to, I have someone to share ideas with. The joy I get from being able to tell you a story, especially a story that I have, there's been some hardship in my life. There's been some major fuck up, and it is it has created quite a lot of either financial stress or personal distress. And I go, you know what? You know who'll laugh at this? My good mate Wade Duffin.
I will laugh,
and it
and
gives,
I will sympathise, but I'll enjoy.
It gives that shitty moment purpose, and it's something that I've been trying to learn. And I'll plug the book again, Man's Search for Meaning, is that there is, by Viktor Frankl, is that book. If you want to look it up, go and read. It's a short read. There is meaning in shit. There's meaning in a bad thing. There's meaning in a disaster. There is meaning in heartache. There's not just meaning in joy and love and happiness. Find that meaning in all of that stuff. Find that meaning in this existential crisis of there's so many people in the world. What difference do I make?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It is like an existential crisis. And it's such a silly one to have as well. But it's gone, I guess, man, it's just been constant. It's just been ongoing for the last like few months.
Yeah.
Just kind of like endless.
What are you doing? What are you doing to fill yourself up? I just had a really great weekend out on the farm with the great Randy B, and we were talking about exactly this, and talking about that balance between the work you're doing in whatever what that is, and the life that you're living, and how do you get filled up?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think I'm filling myself up at the moment. Like, I've got the girls and they're great. I've got Claire and that's great. But what am I doing to fill myself up is I'm trying to, like, spend each day, like, writing and creating. And I'm struggling to do it. And so I'm looking at myself in, like, this negative manner for that. And then even outside of that, I'm not sure what I've been doing lately that is something that will make me genuinely happy. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how to find we've talked about this before. Life is not about, like, happiness. It's not about, like, you don't have to be happy all the time. But I feel at the moment it would be nice to be fucking peaceful a lot of the time. It would be nice to be happy sometimes. And lately I have it just has not been that way.
How often
and
do
I
you?
I don't know what to do about it.
How often do you make a conscious decision to get into nature and whatever that nature looks like, whether it's into the bush or by the beach, and sit there without a book and without a phone and let the energy of the earth and nature around you allow yourself to absorb that? How often do you do that?
Yeah, never.
You should be doing that once a day. You should be taking a moment once a day to get your feet on the soil, to sit by a river, to look at a tree, to feel the wind. We don't do this shit, and we wonder why we're depleted, because we're constantly fulfilling tasks and inventing busyness so that we feel like we're going somewhere. But if you sat down and just took a moment to connect with what was around you and yourself, and felt your breath and felt your heartbeat, then you would have the energy to do those other things, those day-to-day things that you've got to do. But you're spending all the time running around doing that, doing this, doing the other, telling yourself your shit, feeling like an imposter. And where's the time for just loving yourself and being in that moment?
I'm forcing it. You know what I mean? I'm really kind of like trying to force this kind of this thing to happen rather than just like letting it happen organically. And the other thing is I probably haven't seen enough friends lately.
Yeah.
I've been like really isolated in the house, and that happens. It really happens. But I really haven't seen, there's a couple of people like yourself I won't see. Oh, I'll see you in a couple of weeks actually.
Yes, you will.
Which would be great. But you know, I've got a couple of close friends who I just haven't seen at all. And that always fucking fucks with my head. So I've just got to like stop, man, this is such a good chat. I've just got to stop trying to like force what I'm doing, trying to fucking create and just let it happen. And also just give myself some time to breathe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when I have time, when I have like that spare time, all I'm thinking about is how I'm wasting the time. I'm not thinking about like, well, this is a nice thing to do. I'm spending my time wisely here, like just sitting in the bush or like whatever it is. I'm just like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to fucking go.
Because taking moments like that, you've been told is wasting time. You've been told that it's of no benefit, but it's absolutely integral to functioning to be able to take that moment. It's not a lot of moments, but it's just taking that time. Have a walk.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I want to bring up a thing that my wife sent me, which I think is an interesting chat to talk through. Because anyway, here it is. The human body can't produce sex hormones and stress hormones at the same time. This is very much about what we've just talked about, but it's just moving into the subject of sex and intimacy. And I'll just read the comment on it. This is from Kimberly Ann Johnson, if people want to follow her. I didn't, my wife does, and so I read this. The body prioritizes which hormones to produce based on the messages from our nervous system, and they are reciprocally connected. If we're producing stress hormones, we'll produce fewer sex hormones. if we're producing sex hormones, we'll produce fewer stress hormones. If you're stuck in the stress modes of your system in fight, flight, or freeze due to incomplete cycles from your past, you'll produce less of the feel-good hormones. The good news is that when you consciously turn your lens towards pleasure, toward anything that feels good, not just sexual pleasure, you can start to light up your sex hormone circuitry. Pleasure is a powerful antidote to stress. And I listened to a really great podcast yesterday about exactly this, that pleasure is medicine. And I want to reiterate that I'm not talking about just sexual pleasure. And that's why I talk to you about just going out into nature and just being in the bush or being by the ocean or the river, whatever it is that that gives you energy. Because you get into this cycle of stress and it becomes an addictive thing. And all of a sudden, that's all the hormones that you're producing. And then I got sent another thing from my wife that if you're not hungry in the morning, that's not a flex. That's because you're too stressed and you're surviving on the stress hormones.
Oh, Jesus.
To which I replied to it, I said, by the sounds of those last two messages, it sounds like you want to root me more. So... She just left me on scene. She didn't even reply.
Don't worry. We've got some merch coming your way, Hannah. You're going to love it.
You'll probably find it very familiar.
And I like that a lot, though, that kind of like that pleasure, whatever brings you joy or happiness, is obviously going to like help de-stress you and make you help you like lead a more peaceful existence. I guess it's really good.
Well, even just talking to you and having a laugh, you know, I will come into the start of recording this quite often with some stress, with some anxiety around the things that I have to do in the week. And then we make stupid, silly little jokes about our stupid, silly little dicks. And I laugh and I feel great.
They are silly little dicks.
Silly little dicks.
I love how we always talk about just how jimungous they are. Yeah. And just like go to that next level, like, oh, the packaging, oh, the postage, oh, that's going to be, you know, the shipping costs on that. They're just average dicks. They're just dicks.
I could get mine in a regular envelope. I could just lick a 50-cent stamp and whack it on the knob and send it off.
Just posting.
Because it's an old school dick pics. You just send your dick in the mail.
You're just walking up behind it. You've like got a little picture frame like around your crotch. It's like the dick
bag. But I see you, mate, and I hear you. I just think there's so much. I know that there's a lot going on in your life. You're facing some of the biggest stresses that people go through is moving house and renovating. You've done both of them. Not to mention the loss of a very close friend, not to mention the loss of a dog, not to mention the overwhelming weight of world news at the moment.
Oh, man.
And the pressure of trying to provide a safe, a positive environment for your girls. It is of no wonder whatsoever that things are feeling insurmountable and like a load that you can't lift, which means to find that pleasure is even more important. It's vital at the moment that we go and have that and find that. And fill ourselves up.
Yeah, thanks, man. That's really the way you've like phrased that. There really helps. Like there has been a lot going on, and then on top of all that, I've got my own stuff in my head where I'm trying to create, and I'm not getting that done. And that's like a weight. And there's so many different weights just fucking pressing down on my fucking beautiful head up here.
It's really good, man.
It's a sharp haircut.
Yep, it's luscious.
And it's taking its toll, but you're right, just to kind of it's that thing of like, if you can control it, how can you change it? And if you can't control it, then you can't, then don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know? Totally. Yeah.
You can only worry about what you can control. And if you can't control it, then what can you do?
Well, so, and just so that you know that I practice what I preach, last week I was having a pretty bad week. I got a big knockback from something that I was looking towards in terms of some plans that I've been making for my family and our future. And it was a heavy blow, to be honest. And I spoke to you about it, and I was saying all sorts of things. I regret the move. This is really difficult. So I had some gigs out near my brother's farm anyway, and I just packed the truck up and left 2 days earlier. And Hannah had the support of my mother-in-law here. Leonard was away on music camp. And so I had that window, and I went, I'm just going to go and I'm going to fill myself up. And I walked around the farm. I spent a whole day working on my truck with my nephew, which was so excellent. He's working on his ute in the shed. I had my old Land Cruiser parked in the shed working on that. The next day I went on a little shopping adventure with my niece into town. The next day I drove up the mountain into Toowoomba to do a show there, and I had a ball. The next day I wandered around the farm all day talking with Randall about our ideas and our dreams. That night I did another show, had an absolute blast, and then it was a full moon and I got back to the farm at about 10 o'clock at night, and I lay out on the grass with a joint and watched the moon, and I've come home feeling great, and I'm giving a way better energy to my family. I imagine that'll only last for 24 hours and then I'll be back at the fucking farm.
But no, I get it though, because you got to you get away and you get to do this thing, and I haven't been away and I haven't filled up in so long.
Yeah.
That, I can feel it. I can feel it. So, I need to work out a way to kind of just fucking de-stress a bit.
Yes. Because the people that you care about and that you want to be there for will benefit from that.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to edit this podcast straight after this, actually. Not that it'll need much, but I think I am going to go for a walk down to the creek.
Yeah.
And just fucking sit there for a bit.
Leave your phone.
Leave the phone.
Just leave your phone. Just sit there.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
All right, mate.
Thanks, man.
Oh, my absolute pleasure.
Part therapy. And I didn't know I was going to talk about like that stuff before we started. But this has been a really good one for me. Like personally, this has really helped. And I appreciate it.
I did 6 months of psychology in the year 2000. So you're welcome. you are welcome.
Speak to the pros.
And that'll be $280. Thank you. And you don't get any backup Medicare. Hey, speaking of which, I just want to have a bit of a whinge about how expensive vasectomies are. Why am I paying? Honestly, you should pay me. You get to see my dick. Why am I paying you? And there's no Medicare rebate. What's going on here? What kind of fucked up world are we in? I'm offering for you to do a little cut on my peen.
You get to get a scalp. You get to cut me.
You get to.
And I have to pay you.
What the fuck?
Because you get to cut me.
Who came up with that system? But I've got to get it done, because if I have another child, I'm buying a Tarago. And I will not. Not doing it.
too good. All right, buddy.
All right, mate. Hey, let's do this again. And I love you.
All right. Love you, mate. See ya.
Bye.
Dads.